back, my friend. Welcome to the broadcast. Freeman, thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate you staying with us on the RBN Network. We're going to turn it right back over to Lori because she's got a lot to talk about, and we got a few callers on the line. So, Lori, take it away.
All right. So, GreenMedInfo.com reported, in order to better understand this decision by the Vaccine Court, it helps to consider some additional points first. Vaccines are indeed not safe. Not only do the manufacturer's vaccine inserts include a laundry list of severe adverse reactions, but since its inception in 1986, the Vaccine Court has also begrudgingly paid out nearly $4 billion in compensation for injuries and deaths deemed to be a direct result of vaccines. The National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 established a National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, also known as NVICP, to compensate vaccine-related injuries and deaths. Congress initially designed the NVICP to supplement the state law civil tort system as a simple, fair, and efficient means for compensating vaccine-injured people. The program was meant to award compensation quickly and easily. Unfortunately, independent investigation and countless horror stories from individuals who have experienced the vaccine court process have demonstrated clearly that the program is deeply flawed and highly adversarial towards petitioners. There is no jury trial within the vaccine court as it consists of administrative processes, sometimes resting solely upon the basis of the appointed special master overseeing the case. Within the vaccine court, petitioners seeking compensation for their children's SIDS cases are often denied, dismissed, or settled through an informal resolution before an official decision is made. What makes the recent case of Boatman and Cupid versus Secretary or Health and Human Services different is that not only did the court decide in favor of the petitioners, but the report of the medical expert, neuropathologist Dr. Douglas Miller, was thorough and persuading while also proving to the special master the role pro-inflammatory cyclophosphamides played in the vaccine injury and death. According to the court documents, JB, the subject of the petition, was born 4 weeks prematurely at 36 weeks gestation. Almost 5 months after JB's birth, he had his four-month well baby visit. He was nearly 5 months post-delivery. Although his gestational age was about 4 months, given his early delivery, JB's father attested that during the well baby visit, JB was smiling and cooing like normal. According to the court documents, he was described as a healthy appearing and cooperative, well-nourished, and well-developed. With medical documentation taken by the pediatrician to prove those points, in addition, JB was shown as having met numerous four-month developmental milestones. During the four-month well baby visit, JB received a DTaP, IPV, PCV, rotavirus, and hepatitis B vaccinations. Testimony from his parents showed later that the day that JB was, quote, was not laughing or cooing like he normally did, he was not moving as much, and he seemed quiet and withdrawn, unquote. That night, JB had a fever and he did not sleep well. Less than 24 hours later, JB passed. The question of whether the cascade of pro-inflammatory cytokines, sometimes nicknamed the cytokine storm, stimulated by the innate immune response to the vaccines could have been the trigger that led to JB's death was central to the testimony and much of the medical literature submitted by the parties. One important point in the case was the well-documented clear medical evaluation on the day of the vaccination, showing a clean bill of health before a vaccination and afterward a fever preceding the ultimate SIDS event. The various studies on SIDS done by Harvard neuropathologist Hannah C. Kinney, MD, and her colleagues were submitted in JB's vaccine court case, along with many other studies and articles. The role of the pro-inflammatory cytokines in tipping the molecular balance in the underdeveloped brainstem is thought by multiple experts to be a potentially critical factor in the pathology of SIDS. Dr. Russell Blaylock expertly described the cascading neurological events, which can take place after vaccinating an infant, in one of his previous public talks. Quote, they, pediatricians, hardly ever want to debate, but if you could tie one into a chair and debate them, all they would talk about is one vaccine. They would say, well, the adjuvant in one vaccine is really not that strong. It's weaker than it used to be, and all this nonsense. And then you say, Mr. Pediatrician, what if I multiply that times 6? Now that child is getting 6 times as high a dose of just the adjuvant. Some of these vaccines have 3 different antigens in them. So now we're talking about dozens of immune stimulations all in one sitting in a tiny baby that's already had its microglia primed. You get an enormous secretion of inflammatory cyclones and glutamate powerfully. The child can die of SIDS because, remember, the brain stem has the highest microbiological concentration. That's where your breathing apparatus and your cardiovascular system is controlled, unquote. The vaccine court award payout has not been handed down to the petitioners in the Boatman and Cupid case at the time of this writing. Only a decision has been rendered. From a legal point of view, it is known that vaccination can cause SIDS in some cases. A quick search shows that over 80 SIDS cases have been heard by the vaccine court. Currently, there are no medical studies that show how and why SIDS via vaccination occurs in some infants and not in others. In addition, most vaccine court cases involving SIDS ended in settlements without decisions handed down, as seen in Boatman and Cupid case. The official conclusion of Special Master Gowen was as follows, quote, in this case, I have concluded that petitioners have presented sufficient evidence and testimony to entitle them to compensation in the vaccine program. I have not concluded that vaccines present a substantial risk of SIDS. In this case, I have concluded, after a review of the evidence, that it is more likely than not that the vaccines played a substantial causal role in the death of JB, without the effect of which he would not have died. The role of inflammatory... This is the person who made the decision. The role of the inflammatory cytokines as neuromodulators in the infant medulla has been well described and is likely the reason for a significant number of SIDS deaths occurring in conjunction with mild infection. I have concluded that it is more likely than not that the vaccine-stimulated cytokines had the same effect in this vulnerable infant during sleep, unquote. Since the Bowman and Cupid case took place within the vaccine court and not the Supreme Court or a federal circuit court, the decision rendered is not precedent-setting in the conventional legal sense, yet it can be considered a wider moral victory for justice and greater understanding. The decision of the vaccine court to place weight and standing upon the role of pro-inflammatory cyclocines as neuromodulators in vaccine injury gives hope that a deeper view and consequences is finally pervading this notoriously inept and adversarial vaccine court apparatus. Since the role of pro-inflammatory cyclocines has been shown to be an underlying mechanism in vaccine-related injuries other than SIDS, perhaps the tone and findings set by the Boatman and Cupid case will resonate out further into future vaccine court decisions.
But the problem is the vaccine court decisions don't have any precedent-setting effect, and that so you're not – this is what happens when we get away from the jury trial. Now these cases are just going to be – each one is a victory, but just for that person, it's not going to help prevent – See, that once you get a court case precedent, if it was in the regular, even in the witches court, it would shut down all these vaccine manufacturers would have to either stop selling their poison and then start selling something that was not toxic or cease and desist altogether. It would destroy their business, and that would be a good thing because they're killing poor little babies. It's insane. It breaks my heart that this kid died. I don't like the word passed. He was killed by the vaccines, and it's not by accident. This is just not some whoop-de-doo, oh, it turns out they're toxic. They're designed this way. The manufacturers know full good and well that these are going to end up killing a whole bunch of young babies, and they just
and here's
they don't
the problem.
Care. It's money along the way to population reduction.
Well, and here's a problem too. You know, we were talking about jury nullification earlier. There's no victim, there is no crime, there is a victim here. Who's facing any jail time?
Yeah, it's got to be done in the real courts, and then
you know.
You'll see the vaccine manufacturers will be absolutely horrified, and they'll have to make massive and major changes to the poisonous product that they're selling. We're worried about, you know, the drug war. You know, Sessions is worried about marijuana. Never killed anyone, and these vaccine manufacturers are killing people, little people, nationwide. Very sad.
It is sad. Okay, well, what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and get to the callers, and then after we get to the callers, I'll bring up some more news for y'all. How are you doing tonight, Ken? Welcome.
My call. Thank you. And pleased to meet your acquaintance, Laurie. I've not heard you talk to you before, rather.
That's
and
very
hello
nice
to everybody
meet you.
Else. And I was listening to the person that was talking about the marketing, and I'll give you my contribution. My
okay.
contribution would be to say something like, the jury is the law, not the judge. And since people are so, I don't want to say dumbed down, but I think the word affirmation and even nullification has too many syllables in it.
You're probably right. How about jury freedom? Jury freedom. You are free to exercise your conscience.
Well,
that would work.
I think that would be a direct slap at the judge because the judge never gives you the law. They always give you the part they want to give you, but not the entire.
Right.
They never explain it to the jury. So I don't know if you're capable of doing this or not, but in your flyer, I think the way people are today, they're always carrying their cell phone, their smartphones around, which I don't have. But you know that square block kind of barcode? If you know a way to put one of those on your sheet, they could just put the phone up to the sheet and go to the website, and then you can explain it in detail rather than try to figure out something really catchy.
Or how about we just let them know that the jury is actually the judge? The judge is actually a mediator.
Yeah, something, you get the picture, something along those lines. You have to sit there and you have to go back and forth with it until it sounds really catchy. And the other caller was right about that. He's right about the marketing, but, you know, I could see the words, either one of the words may not mean a lot to most people today.
Isn't that sad?
I think they're really, to me, they're not focusing on it's just more of a title. When you get into the meat and potatoes of, hey, you don't have to vote for someone guilty, you know, even if they broke the statute, because it's up to you. If you don't like the law, that's fine for you to judge that. And so I don't think, you know, I don't want to get too hyper-focused on the nullification word, because it really is, you know, for most purposes, just a title until you explain to people what it is. You know, take a word. Nullification, affirmation, freedom, jury independence. You can almost pick anything.
If you could construct the square barcode where they could just point their phone at it, it would take them right to a website where they can explain it in detail, assuming that they're interested in the first place.
Sure. Yep. I'll take that under advisement, Ken.
The other thing is, another thing I noticed is you're talking about the state police earlier. I noticed that I live out in eastern Suffolk on Long Island, and I noticed the state police somewhere around the Riverhead area where we don't have the Suffolk County Police, which is, you know, a corporation. The state police, I noticed that they set roadblocks up, and I was with a driver. I work on a disabled bus, and I was we were approaching. I see the lights flashing, and the driver said, oh, they must be looking for somebody. And I said, no, they're not looking. They're looking for you. And I said, they're not looking for anybody. We went by, and the two officers were standing there joking and talking with each other. He rolls the window down, and they just, oh, it's okay, just go on, wave on. And I said, now, you know what that was? I said, that's called dog training.
Well, okay, let me respond to that. That, of course, when you first, we have the roadblocks up, not right out here where I am out in the country, but a lot of them up in the city or in and around the city in the wealthy suburbs of Rochester where they know the women, you know, usually housewives because, you know, and they're usually doing more driving, running the kids around during the day. And they got a lot of money up there, the housewives of around suburban Rochester, and they know that it's a money thing. Now, so, and it's disgusting. Roadblocks are for Nazi Germany, and that's it. They don't want to be called Nazis. Don't stand out there like a bunch of Nazis. But in that case that you just described, it sounded like the two cops got sent out there by their commanding officer at the barracks, and that they didn't want to be there, and they weren't really doing much of a sticker check, because that's all they're looking for is minor code violations.
They weren't doing anything. Yeah, they would only use that as an excuse if somebody complained
about it. But, you know, that
might
have been good, though. That might have been good. They might not have liked being sent out there to feed on their own people like a bunch of sharks
and
wolves.
Have been,
and so they were intentionally turning their back to the traffic and just having a little joke session and then telling everybody to go by, no matter what color their sticker was.
Right.
You know, kudos to them. That might have been a good thing. So I'm just trying to look at the glass half.
Well, I think they have like four or five vehicles. I noticed they seem to like black pickup trucks. Because another thing that they do, we have some, I don't know if you're familiar with traffic circles. We have a few of them out east where you have a couple of roads go into a circle and there's no traffic light and they have like a stone.
The rotary.
Okay. And what they'll do is I've noticed these guys will pull up with their truck and sit on the top. Now, if I did that, I'd get a ticket or I'd get hauled away. And they just sit there and it's just like, they're just sitting there doing nothing. And it says State of New York. Sometimes it says Environmental Police. We got a couple of those.
It's intimidation.
Well, it's intimidation,
yeah. and it's a money grab.
Well, you
and,
can look at it that way.
Getting federal. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can look at it that way, or you can look at it as they're refusing to obey unlawful orders. So they're just sitting there. You know what I mean? They're still out being sent out, but maybe because we don't know their mindset, right? We don't know if they're there to try to intimidate or if they're halfway following those orders, but they're leaving the people alone, which means they're refusing to obey unlawful orders by pulling people over for, let's say, a smashed taillight.
I'd seen several years ago is where the sheriff's department did something similar. They stood at a exit off of a highway, and they had a big vehicle. They had all these lights flashing. It was sitting up on the grass, and they had this big van and had a bat on it. A bat, like Batman, and it said BATF on it.
You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like... the conditioning.
Somebody's giving them money to...
Well, the conditioning, too, to get people used to seeing it there so it becomes the normal. Desensitization.
That's what they call dog training.
Right. We'll be right back after a word
from
our...
Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles? Improved vision? Improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's Eric, the Freedom Streamer. We got Lori and Gary and Chris and Ken right now on the line, so we appreciate Ken's broadcast. It's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So, back to you, Lori.
Well, I wanted to give a little bit more of some good news, of course, and this was reported on September the 9th. John Whitehead reported this. If you don't know who John Whitehead is, check out the Rutherford Institute. Amazing, amazing man. Anyway, it has been reported the sheriffs conducted unconstitutional search and arrest based on an anonymous source. Austin, Texas, a federal court has rejected the efforts by the Texas police to dismiss a Fourth Amendment lawsuit brought by the Rutherford Institute challenging a warrantless raid, search, and arrest of a Texas homeowner based on unreliable information from an anonymous source. Rutherford Institute attorneys filed the lawsuit in December of 2015 against Gillespie County, Texas, Sheriff's Office deputies who, after being denied entry to Huntley and Susan Danzinger's private home without a warrant, arrested Huntley Danzinger, placed him in handcuffs, and threw him to the ground, and then carried out a warrantless search of his rural home. U.S. District Court Judge David Allen Ezra ruled the officers' actions as set forth in the lawsuit were based on inaccurate information from an anonymous source and violated the Danzinger's clearly established constitutional rights. The order of Judge Ezra on the motion for summary judgment in Danzinger versus Hindman and Westbrook is available at the Rutherford.org. Affiliate attorney Jerry Ward of Garrow Ward PC is assisting the Rutherford Institute with Danzinger's defense. Quote, "There are those who insist that if you've done nothing wrong and have nothing to hide, you should submit to police demands to search your person and your home whether or not orders are lawful," unquote, said constitutional attorney John Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute and author of Battlefield America, The War on American People. Quote, "What makes this case so striking is the contrast between American citizens who not only know their rights but are exercising them and the government officials in this case, the police, who are either completely ignorant of what the law requires, namely a search warrant and probable cause, or who don't believe the laws of the land, namely the Fourth Amendment, apply to them. Huntley and Susan Danzinger, who live in rural area of Gillespie County, were awoken at 6:35 a.m. on Monday, May the 3rd, 2015, by a pounding on the door. Upon opening the door, the Danzingers encountered two police officers who demanded to see the Danzinger's son. Although the Danzingers informed police their son was not at the house, the officers repeatedly demanded to speak with their son. The police officers then informed the Danzingers that they believed their son was with an unnamed female whose health might be in jeopardy, and the officers wanted to check on the female. After the Danzingers told the officers that no female was in the house, the officers demanded to be allowed to search the house so they could determine for themselves whether the Danzinger's son and the unnamed female were present. The Danzingers refused to allow the police to enter and search their home and indicated that they should get a warrant if they wanted to do so. One officer then seized Huntley Danzinger, handcuffed him, pulled him away from the door, and threw him to the ground. Alarmed by the treatment of her husband and the inherent coercion, Susan Danzinger allowed one of the officers to enter the house and look around. After searching the house and finding nothing, the officers left. Huntley Danzinger was compelled to seek medical care for deep gashes on the wrists left by the handcuffs. Rutherford Institute attorneys assert that the officers violated the Danzinger's Fourth Amendment rights by relying solely upon an anonymous and malicious report that a woman was in danger as the basis for arresting Huntley and searching the Danzinger's home. And you can read more on that. I leave all of the links and stories that I go over on my Google Plus site under Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio Broadcast or Truth Media. You can find that collection. All you have to do is type in LoriAnderson.com, LoriAnderson.com, and you will find links to everything that I discussed on the radio show tonight. So I have one more. Let's go ahead and get to the caller, and then I'll bring in some more interesting and good news. How about that? The next caller, Greg, how are you doing tonight?
To all of you, thank you to everybody, and you're always doing a great show. I have a couple of really fast things I'd like to bounce off of.
Hold that thought until after the break. Hold on. We got a break coming. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Yes, hang on there, Greg, please.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Upset you out. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right. Yes, everything's all right.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you, never your hot forehead out. Then you feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet, for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax, think of nothing.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer on the RPN Network. We got Lori tonight, so we're going to turn it right back over to you, Lori. Go ahead.
Okay, and we're going to pull Greg right back on so that he can
you on mute, Lori? Everybody should be on mute except for Lori. And we're going to bring her back in if we have her. Lori Anderson? Okay, we may be having some difficulty with Lori. So, Chris, okay. How are you tonight?
Mike, can you hear me? Okay.
Ah, there we go. Yeah,
Greg, how are you tonight? And if you would, go ahead and chime in and let us hear what you had to say. I appreciate you waiting for the break.
Yes, thank you, and thanks to all of you. Couple of points and a question for Chris. Couple of quick comments,
sure.
If I may.
Sure.
as far as nullification, I disagree with Fritz. I think nullification is a very shocking word that gets the point across affirmation almost sounds as if you're in there to rubber stamp what the witch's court wants to do. It's an namby-pamby word, and I don't think it's a good idea. Why change history and the history of our country? Nullification is the perfect word. It just smacks people in the face and gets their attention.
Secondly, yeah, I like it.
As far as vaccines are concerned, Lori, I heard a radio broadcast. The late Joyce Riley used to do a lot of broadcasts concerning vaccines, and she had a couple of lawyers and doctors that bring these cases to that particular court, and they cautioned, and as much as we hate lawyers and everything, they did caution that you have to pick the right person simply because over the time that these cases have been heard, they develop the meanings of certain terms, kind of like person and individual don't mean what we think they mean in law.
Right.
When you use the wrong words on your lawsuit application, they consider things like just the words vaccine damage. They will throw your case out immediately. It has to be brought in different words, only because over the course of time, they're trying to get rid of people knowing that there is so much vaccine damage that they've narrowed the language, and you have to pick the right person that's going to bring the suit that already understands the language concerned.
The legalese, so if you
will. On that one. The next thing I wanted to touch on is a couple of weeks back, you guys mentioned exiting Start Page in Google, and Lori, yeah, it might be time to set up camp someplace else instead of that Google account that you've got. Not that you don't have enough to do now, but I've been using Start Page for a long time. Keep in mind, I believe they're a company in the Netherlands. They're not American. And right on their homepage where you enter the search box, about a month back, they had a phrase that said, we're for net neutrality, or something to that effect. And
but you know who Catherine Albright is?
Yes, I'm very aware. I've been following her for a long time.
She was one of the ones who helped start Page.
Yes, she did represent them. But they're involved in net neutrality, which, as I understand it, it's a whole other layer of bureaucracy where they're claiming that they want to protect your neutrality, yet it's a new layer of bureaucracy that will eventually be turned against us all.
Good point.
That's got to be careful. And immediately as they had that up there for a couple days, they must have got lambasted by all their people that use Start Page, and they got sent the message from the people that use Start Page that stated, whoa, 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 you dopes, who are you really? So people are exiting Start Page as much as they're exiting Google. So Mike Adams has a search engine called Good Gopher, and, of course, the other one, DuckDuckGo, seems to be a decent one. Now, question for Chris, if I may. Chris called in a week ago to Al Whitney's broadcast on RBN, and they were discussing condition precedent. And Chris, and I've heard this mentioned a few times, there's some kind of law, statute, code, or something with the digits 911 of some sort. It's some type of defense that you can use in court, but I've never heard anybody explain it out in what these... Chris would understand, and I'm sure he's listening. He would understand what it is that I'm trying to ask, because that's all the information I've got on it, is that the digits 911 were used. Has nothing to do with today and the towers and all that sort of thing. Nothing to do with emergency calls. Nothing. It had something to do with some type of statute, code, rule, regulation, and something that you can some kind of defense that you'd use in court. And I'm interested, probably not tonight, but if Chris will remember to address that particular subject. It's so vague in my mind that I did not have any clue, but it was some kind of really great defense that you could use. I don't know if any of you know what I'm talking about.
Before Chris responds, don't underestimate those numbers. 911, they've existed for centuries. Those are sacred numbers to the Illuminati and the Jesuits. I heard a Spanish galleon was found with a bunch of coins that had the number 911 on it from hundreds of years ago. It's one of their numbers, so don't underestimate that number resurfacing in the witch's court. We'll be right back with Chris's response after this break on the RBN Network.
Thanks.
No break? I thought I heard music. We must have a lot of background noise. I'm sorry. Whoops. All right, Chris, go ahead and respond.
Right here.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate his applause and appreciation for my contributions. 18 United States Code, Section 911, citizen of the United States, says, whoever falsely and willfully represents himself to be a citizen of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it rather preposterous and absurd that anyone could misrepresent himself to be a so-called small c citizen of the United States, since that is a fictitious entity. It's a hypothecation of a federal citizen, which is small c, which is a subject or slave or serf to the powers or the plenary powers of Congress, making Congress a dictator, a despot, a tyrant, in fact, in the sphere of operations of those who wrongfully and feloniously claim themselves to be a small c federal citizen, according to 18 U.S.C. Section 911. In fact, curiously, this was passed as Public Law 103-322, Title 33, at 330016, Paren 1, Paren H, on, get this, September 13th, 1994, at 108 Stat 2147, and curiously, September 13th, in fact, some might note that September is actually the seventh month, not the ninth month, as they falsely tell us, according to the Gregorian calendar, because September, meaning Septuagint, the seventh, follows by the October the eighth month, November the ninth month, from Nova, or Novum, and from Decadessa, December, the
tenth
month.
Deca is ten, yeah. There you go.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that explanation. That explains a whole lot more. And I know there's not time, and you have other callers, but I'm having great results down here in the circuit courts. I've gotten embroiled in the case, way too much time to explain it to you, but it, as it's all turning out, it's gone to the state Supreme Court at this point, and I'm about to disbar two lawyers and have two judges scraped completely off the bench, one including a special appointment the Supreme Court appointed to come in and hear an issue in my case concerning FOIA. And I'm having great results. I know little or nothing. I'm green behind the ears, although I've been in the Patriot Movement for 30 years, and I know some of the language, and I had to start developing my own paperwork and everything. But I've made great strides, and we're about to clean up the county and cause a whole bunch of people to lose their jobs. And disciplinary actions filed against lawyers and judges are working great. FOIA, people use FOIA as much as you can. It's to our benefit. And I had triggered a judge so much, in short, that he started screaming and hollering at one of the court observers, get this, for smiling in the courtroom. He was so upset with what I was doing in the courtroom as a pro se, because we can get away with certain things they can't, that I'm after an audio tape, and they are battling me tooth and nail. And because the judge lost his temper and screamed and hollered at one of my observers for smiling, I'm going to cause him to completely lose his position, his job, his pension, his everything. And then the next judge that the Supreme Court sent into the case to try to clean this FOIA mess up started jacking with the case and abusing time rules and not giving me a chance to respond to his demands and that type thing. So I'm about to scrape him off the bench, and then it involved two other lawyers, and I'm doing it all by myself. I know nothing about it but the complaints and demanding FOIA, and it has a lot to do with they don't want to give. Everybody knows they'll mess with transcripts, and they're also mandated to make a digital recording of what goes on in the court in case the reporter's steno mask or her laptop or whatever goes sour on her or the electricity goes off, and I'm after that particular tape, and they don't want to give the actual tape up of the judge screaming because it denotes the demeanor in the courtroom and what the judge was doing. They're trying to pacify me with transcripts that I already have, which she did not mess with them in this particular case, but they don't want the audio out, and I FOIA'd it. And one other thing for FOIA, I'm doing a no-driver license thing in Missouri, and long story short, the same thing there. I'm about to scrape a judge off the bench there all by myself, and the case is in appeal. And long story short, his behavior was terrible in the courtroom. He started screaming at me, I have a way to trigger these people. And what they did was I tried to put the fine on hold. That was about $400. I was convicted of no driver license. They tried to collect it. They weren't going to get it from me. I wasn't able to go back to that particular judge because he's such a scumbag to get a stay of the fine while it went through appeals. So what I did was I wound up, they sold it off to a collection agency. So I FOIA'd the court in Missouri to find out the process that they sold it off and how much it was sold off for, which means they have no further interest in me with a warrant because they sold it off. It's paid. In other words, when they sold it off to a collection agency and the collection agency jacked it up with interest and all kinds of stuff, I ignored the collection agency and just got the FOIA information. Sure as heck, they
Beware.
Sold it off.
Beware. Okay? I've experienced that at least in New York. The Monroe mm-hmm. County, the county of Monroe is selling tax debt to an out-of-state straw corporation of a local law firm called Phillips & Lytle, and their out-of-state real estate thing is called Tower Capital Management, and the Monroe County sells tax debt, tax delinquencies to this private firm, but then the private firm uses the witch's court to collect and foreclose on the property. So beware of that circle not coming back full circle, and then that private entity, that collection agency, using the court to get to either, lien your property or incarcerate you, perhaps, in worst-case scenario. So just beware of that. They will use the courts, and that circle will come around full.
Yes, I can appreciate that, and I will take that advice to heart and be very careful with it. But realistically, once they sell the debt, they've got no further interest in you or holding you or anything. So I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to bring that full circle. And,
yeah, way to go, man. You sounds like you're doing fantastic. Everybody needs to do what you're doing and get involved in their cases. Come in as pro se or pro per and make your own defense and make your own paperwork. And just look into the courtroom procedure of the area that you're in and try to adhere to it as much as possible so they don't have minor excuses to dismiss your paperwork because it was procedurally inaccurate.
They tried to scrape me off this circumstance many, many times by fatiguing people. They fatigue you and try to knock off the mark and procedurally get you to disqualify yourself and not timely filings, and they've tried everything they could. I just recorded it all and then filed all these disciplinary complaints, so much so that generally when you file a disciplinary complaint against a judge, they let the judge know in a letter that he's being investigated. Well, they called me and said, be quiet. This is so serious what this judge did that we didn't even send the judge a notice that we are investigating him for fear he'll start disappearing transcripts, paperwork, audios, and all that. So believe me, they do take it seriously, at least in Arkansas they do. So I'm waiting for the results of that to come down, and it does have to do with two other lawyers and two judges. So, and they're all, I can foresee at this point that they're all going to lose their jobs, get disbarred, and be looking for work, sweeping the curbs outside the courthouse. So,
well, good luck with that, because
thanks.
I know that there's a lot of people who have tried it, and I am not trying to push you down at all. I'm really proud of what you're doing, standing up for what is right. You might want to look into, and on the AmericanBar.org, they have the ABA Model Code of Judicial Conduct, which has the canons for the judges.
Yeah, I've read it all. I've read everything that I could.
And are you aware of 18 U.S. Code 241 and 18 U.S. Code 242?
Yes, and I'm also aware that all these lawyers through the Bar Association do carry insurance policies, and there could possibly be a rainbow, a little pot at the end of a rainbow if they're convicted and or disbarred. You can actually help the Patriot Movement, support RBN, and possibly go after that little pot of gold that's at the end of the rainbow. They all have insurance policies. So it's developing, and I'm reading everything that I can, and I'll let you guys know how this all turns out on another phone call, obviously. But thank you.
Well,
thank you all.
Thank you very much for that call. That's very great to hear that. I want to read this, and hopefully he is still listening. Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution also, if you don't know that, write that one down. Section 2 states, quote, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding." So you may want to also jot that one down as well. And what y'all were saying earlier, Chris, about the 18 U.S. Code 911, I just wanted to bring in the relevance to everyone because you were talking about the lowercase citizen. So I just wanted to back you up on that one. And everyone, you can look it up. It's very simple to find. 28 U.S. Code 3002, Section 15 A, B, and C. United States, in quotes, means A, a federal corporation, B, an agency, department, commission, board, or other entity of the United States, or C, an instrumentality of the United States. That is the code. In order to be able to find that, 28 U.S. Code 3002, Section 15 A, B, and C. The argument about the 10-mile square, other than Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, is for U.S. Code 72, public offices at the seat of government. All offices attached to the seat of government shall be exercised in the District of Columbia and not elsewhere, except as otherwise expressly provided by law. So, therefore, what is law? It's supposed to be the Constitution. So, if you go to Article 1, Section 8, it'll tell you expressly what was provided by the law, and it certainly is not national monuments. So, Chris, did you want to add anything to that before I go into any other news? I really don't have enough time to cover the other information, which I will cover on Wednesday, but I can tell you some good news, everyone, real quick before I let Chris chime in. The petition to declare George Soros a terrorist and seize all of his related organizations and assets under the RICO and NDAA law on the WhiteHouse.gov now has 145,941 signatures. The 100,000 goal was due by September the 19th, and as you know, we have 8 more days left. So if you want to find that, you can also find that on my Google+. Click the link and sign below. He has the statement of that is very accurate. It says, whereas George Soros is willfully and on an ongoing basis attempted to destabilize and otherwise commit acts of sedition against the United States and its citizens, has created and funded dozens and probably hundreds of discrete organizations whose sole purpose is to apply Helsinki model terrorist tactics to facilitate the collapse of the systems and constitutional government of the United States, and has developed unhealthy and undue influence over the entire Democrat Party and a large portion of the U.S. federal government, the Department of Justice should immediately declare George Soros and all of his organizations and staff members to be domestic terrorists and have all of his personal and organizational wealth and assets seized under civil asset forfeiture law. Now, the civil asset forfeiture law. No. I don't really agree with that. However, I do believe it could be seized in a different manner for trial, not the civil asset forfeiture law, because then a item that it's not a breathing item, whether it be money or cars or homes or whatever, allegedly it is the property itself that's committed the crime. No, George Soros needs to be held accountable for the stuff that he is doing, just like the funding of the quote-unquote Antifa and BLM and all the little movements that they're trying to do to destabilize and create a civil war here in the United States of America, just like they did over in Syria, like they did in the Ukraine, like they've done all across the globe. So with that information, I'm going to be giving a warning out for what this individual and groups that are tied to George Soros are planning on November the 4th, 2017. to take to the streets and public squares in cities and towns across the country, continuing day after day and night after night. This is their flyer they have put out. I will go over that more one Wednesday when I visit with you all again. And from there, Chris, I'll let you take that. But please know that there's some important information that will be coming out on Wednesday.
Well, thank you, Lori. I was wanting to kind of touch base on a couple of things you said there. First and foremost, on that 10-mile square thing, there are a lot of caveats, caveators, if you like that better, that operate on that. The word terms resident, domestic,
non-domestic.
Yes, these things are really critical because they imply and infer, tacitly create the hypothecation that anybody that uses those words to describe themselves is in the 10-mile square of territorial jurisdiction expanded to the states. Mm-hmm. And regrettably, if we're not aware of these things, we can, by lack of competence or lack of knowledge or by merely not being sophisticated and self-studied in law like you and some of us on this call are, you can fall prey to these traps they lay for us, like using the zip code, the Federal Zone Identifying Protocol, which also imports federal jurisdiction, territorial, to anybody who voluntarily chooses to employ it for the convenience thereof, incompetently or without knowledge, therefore ascribing federal jurisdiction to that particular location by the incorporation and utilization of that federal zone zip code to your postings and mailings.
We need local sheriffs to resist it. Well, and I can tell you, and I will cover this on a different night, and I can assure you that everything Chris is saying is accurate, and you actually do not have to use the zip code, and I'll teach you how to do that legally, lawfully, and you'll be able to do it with a 2-cent stamp instead of 49 cents. Just saying.
United States Postal Code, DMM.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate you guys being with us. Lori, thank you. Chris, thank you. Gary, thank you. And thanks to all the listeners and callers. People, tomorrow night was a very interesting program. I'm hoping you'll be back with us on Wednesday. Thanks again for joining us. It's Eric Freedom Street on the other
side. Thank you, everyone. And as always, watch your backs, check your facts, Semper Fi Dellis, and have a wonderful night.
Just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.